Hi there. My name's David Huff, and I welcome you to Startling Confessions of a Recovered Addict. In this podcast, we will meet people, men and women in recovery, sharing their stories of hope and transformation. So I thank you for joining us. Welcome to Startling Confessions from a Recovered Addict. And today, in our first segment, we have Rebecca Carr. Rebecca will be sharing her story with us. Rebecca is a fascinating woman. She founded and is president of an organization that is sales and marketing consultancy. And has a beautiful story and a startling confession for us. And Rebecca, if you would, please share your startling confession with us.
Thank you, David, for having me here. So in the 44 years that I had been drinking, I pretty much was one of those type of drinkers that it always caused me trouble. So I was blacking out. The first time I drank was 14, and I blacked out. The police were called. So that was kind of like an insight into what drinking was going to be like for me. So over my drinking career, I was put in jail, not once, not twice, but nine times for actually assaulting other people. So I was not a very happy drunk, unfortunately, for me and everyone around me. But I didn't really understand how I kept drinking through those consequences, but I did. And so I would do really tragic, incredibly horrible things while I was drunk. I held someone at gunpoint. I wrecked someone's truck into a tree, all in a blackout. I lit a house on fire while I was in it. So just really crazy, crazy, crazy things that never really got me to stop drinking. I had been to five rehabs during that time, three mental institutes for suicide attempts. I had over 150 jobs by the time I was 30 because of my drinking, and moved 50 different times in my adult life within the same state and also to different states. So my drinking consistently obviously was a problem.
Goodness gracious. I will say this. I've probably mentioned this to you before, but I am glad we did not meet up in a bar. That would have been dangerous for all of us. So yeah, thank you for your honesty and sharing that and scary story. What happened? What turned it around?
So, you know, I never really could figure out, David, why I could not stop drinking, but I knew that for whatever reason, the consequences didn't seem to matter. And so what happened for me is I found some other people that had a similar problem that had recovered. And I went to them and I realized I needed somebody to help me. I couldn't do it on my own. And what that gave me was a clear understanding of what being an alcoholic is. And that was so important because what I realized is that I had a mind that would always lead me to the first and a body that demanded that I have this second, whether I wanted it or not. And those two things made what I was struggling with a fatal illness and kept me anchored into the cycle of addiction. And so once I realized that, I kind of took on, I did whatever they told me, like my life depended on it. And that was some principles that are spiritual in nature. Mm-hmm. That once I executed or implemented those into my life, it cured me of a hopeless state of mind and body. And I've been free from that for a year and a half now.
Wow, that is a beautiful story. And thank goodness for that encounter for you. Tell me, a year and a half.
Well, a little shy, but yeah.
After 44 years, and you seem to be living the dream, based on what I know, based on our talks, and How do you keep yourself from slipping back? What do you do to keep yourself on the beam?
That's a great question. So as I mentioned, the principles that it's kind of a design for living, right? Very spiritual in nature. Mm-hmm. That includes a lot of inventory, making sure that my side of the street is clean and that I'm showing up like the person I want to show up with as. Mm-hmm. A lot of prayer and meditation, not in a religious sense, but one of the most important things I do every day is I get up and I set intention on my day, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm writing out, what am I going to do today? Where might I fall today? And I just make sure that I have really solid intention. And the other thing I want to say is I am constantly in service to other people mm-hmm. that may be still struggling with alcoholism. That is a super, super important part of my day.
Ooh, that is beautiful. So if I heard you right, one of the things that keeps you on the beam is two things. Primarily, you consider your plans for the day with an intention set for how the day should look, how you want to be, if I heard that right. And secondly, is service to others. Beautiful. And obviously, that's working well for you. So yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your startling confession and your program of action that seems to be working so well and offers so much hope. So I hope you have a beautiful day. And I thank you again.
Thank you so much, David, for having me here.
You are so welcome. Thanks for hanging around for the second part of the podcast, where we take a look at the practices that we can put into action in our own lives that continue us in this recovery, this new life that can contribute to a life which is happy, joyous, and free. And Rebecca gave us some stuff that really is exciting for me, I believe critical in my own life. And that is, she mentioned this idea of every day she jots down some intentions that she sets for the day, how she wants to show up in the world. She calls that considering her plans for the day. I have a very similar practice. And so that's what I'd like to discuss for our activity. It just, this practice of jotting down a couple of things. And in my case, it's three. I don't know why. That's the number that seemed to work for me. I'll jot down three things. This is how I want to show up. But for our practice, let's just consider, especially if you haven't done this, that to just jot down one thing, how you want to show up. For example, quite often, one of the things that shows up as my intention for the day is do not criticize, condemn, or complain. That's a good one for me. Another one is today I will show up as loving and kind towards all people. And those things just set into my brain. And in my case, as I breathe deep and think about this intention, can set it into my heart also. And then at the end of the day, I can review and see, well, how'd you do? You intended to be loving and kind towards all. How did that work? So the practice is, when either before you go to bed at night and you're thinking about the day before, some people call the golden hour before you go to bed and believe that it can really set those intentions, especially as you begin to, that information works on you during sleep, or first thing in the morning when you want to make sure that this is my plan for this day, is to just jot down one intention. This is how I intend to show up. Maybe it's today I will eat only those things which promote good health in my body and my brain, or I will show up as loving and kind today, or today I will not criticize, condemn, or complain, or maybe today I'll be aware of my breath as it comes in and my breath as it goes out. Just breathe. So that's our practice. I hope you'll try it, and I would love to know how it works for you. So I hope you have a beautiful day, and see you in the next podcast.